Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply. Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
Let's go around the NFL to keep you in the loop. This is Houston's sports leader, Sports Radio 610.
The OG versus water polo guy. Anytime we get an opportunity to relive that, we will, and we will do so shortly here on In the Loop on a Way Back Wednesday. Headline porn. We said it immediately when it happened. Ryan Tannehill, lifelong Aggie. One of the better, like, really, if you talk to anyone, you know Gerard. Gerard and him had an interesting dynamic.
They were really good friends.
They were good friends. Yeah. Tannehill started out as one of his receivers, relieved Gerard when the shoulder started acting up. What would Gerard Johnson say about Ryan Tannehill?
I never heard him say anything bad. That's for darn sure. And I think he would be right in line with us. When we heard this, you and I both were like, did you hear the whole context of what he said? Because most people were acting like they didn't.
That wasn't just headline porn. Like, that was
like, irresponsible.
That was about as dirty as it gets, the headline porn with Ryan Tannehill. Here was Malik Willis talking about Ryan Tannehill last week when they had phase one, I guess they call it, the rookie mini camp.
About Ryan's comment about not mentoring earlier.
What comment?
What's that?
What comment?
Ryan Tannehill, okay.
Man.
Did you take anything from that, or, you know, anything of significance, or what are your thoughts?
Oh, man, we chopped it up. I mean, it was never anything negative. Ryan's a good dude, and he had us, like I said, he had us over the house. Everything's cool, man.
All right, the QB of the old Oilers spoke yesterday. This was Ryan Tannehill talking about his reaction to watching this thing kind of
Well, just real
blow
quick,
up.
For those who maybe not be familiar, he says a number of things about, you know, being in the quarterback room with Malik Willis, who was drafted, obviously, there, and said it, in the context of that, I'm not here to mentor him.
Yeah.
But it was basically saying, I'm going to do everything else I can, but, you know, that's not my marching orders. And it was blown out of proportion.
And I also think it was kind of like in another way, it was almost like a compliment to Malik Willis. Like, he's a grown ass man. He's going to come in. We're going to build off of each other. This was the quarterback of the old Oilers, Ryan Tannehill, yesterday addressing one of the worst displays, really, of headline porn that I've seen in a long time.
I'm in no disrespect to Malik or anything close to that. We've been in constant communication since he was drafted, you know, over the last few weeks as he's been in the building and kind of getting to know each other. Really just kind of disappointed in how things got spun and twisted a little bit. Something I'll try to instill in my kids as they start playing, youth sports is being a great teammate. And when I say that, I mean, you know, trying to help out, whether it's on the field, off the field, supporting each other. You know, some of my best friends in the world have come in football locker rooms and, you know, started off just as teammates and have grown into friends. So, you know, another thing that I think kind of got blown out of proportion is when I said the word compete. You know, I compete every time I step foot on that football field. I'm competing against the defense. We're doing QB drills, and I'm competing against whoever else is out there. That's just how I'm wired. I love to compete. I love to win. I freaking hate losing. You know, that was kind of frustrating for me as well. You know, we're going to continue to push each other, to learn from each other in the QB room, encourage each other. We're all here for one goal. My primary focus is to win football games.
So what's the problem? There is no problem. And it was very contrived and, like I said, pretty much irresponsible by those who just thought, oh, Ryan Tannehill, not here to mentor him. Man, listen to the whole thing.
Tennessee interests me big time because I think sometimes coaches can be like victims, players as well, of overachieving and surpassing expectations. Mm-hmm. Spoiler alert, Ryan Tannehill's not Patrick Mahomes. He's not Josh Allen. He's not in that class. But when Tennessee brought Ryan Tannehill in, if I would have laid out what Ryan Tannehill has done from that point to this point, what the hell would you be saying?
Sign me
up. If I would have showed you that when he first came in and said, Ryan Tannehill is going to win multiple division titles. They're going to be the one seed. And really, when you put his stats, when you blindly put his stats side by side against some of the best quarterbacks in the league, you're going to be shocked whenever – you know, they pull the curtain and you see who he is.
Well, and I'm an Aggie. Everybody knows that. I wasn't a big Ryan Tannehill fan in Miami. I kind of saw him for what I thought he was. So if you'd have said that, I would have bet against it. But I would have said, as if I were a Titans fan, sign me up. He's far surpassed anything that we thought he was going to be.
And then you look at Mike Vrabel. Like, Mike Vrabel was the coach of the year last year, and a lot of people will look at what happened against the Cincinnati Bengals, and they're saying, oh, the one seed, they lost in the first round, they lost to a rookie quarterback, they lost to Cincinnati. That team had no business being the one seed. Like, that team had no business being the one seed with all the injuries they had. They lost Derrick Henry. All you heard was, oh, Derrick Henry, he's the reason that the they were still the one seed, and they ended up losing. So I wonder now, like, if Mike Vrabel and the Titans take a step back, and let's say that they're an 8-9 team, or let's say they're a 9-8 team, like, how is it going to be looked at? Is it going to be looked at as like underachieving? I'll use like a Chip Kelly example. Like, Chip Kelly went 10-6 his first year with Foles, and then it kind of got worse in Philadelphia. Now he did get power, but if he hadn't started out 10-6, and let's say he would have like gradually built his way up. How would it have been looked at as opposed to how it ended up? And again, there were other factors, so that might be a bad example. But I feel like Tennessee has surpassed any realistic expectations you could have had for him.
Yeah, I mean, we all know how it would have ended up. It would have been a whole different story for him there. But the thing about the Titans, and we heard from Luke Fickell, who clearly has just a terrific, terrific relationship with Mike Vrabel. You know, you're kind of starting to get that Mike Tomlin vibe. Out of Mike Vrabel. Like, no matter the circumstances, they ain't going 8-9. You know, like somehow, some way, his leadership, the way he can build that team, the way he prepares that team, the way he develops that team, they might not be, they might multiple times.
Like how
times,
Pittsburgh backed into the playoffs last year.
They might multiple times be, well, clearly they're not, you know, deserving of being in the playoffs, but they are. I could see Vrabel being that guy.
Landry Locker, John Lopez, Figgy Fig with you going around the NFL. Water polo tight end has found a home. The Saints have signed Kahale Waring. Don't really have any analysis on
it. Have they cut him yet?
Not yet. I mean, I don't know.
What time is it?
It's usually about 3 days in when he gets cut. But in the spirit of that, you never have to threaten me with a good time when it comes to playing one of the most famous clips in the history of this show, John Lopez versus water polo guy.
Ever seen a water polo game? Have you ever been on the deck of a pool when a water polo game was being played?
Yeah, my son played college water polo.
Where's that?
At Texas A&M.
Okay, that was club. That wasn't college. That wasn't varsity.
I've also covered the Olympics and saw it up close from deck side.
Good. Then you ought to be able to evaluate this guy.
I know water polo. Trust me. And what joke did we say?
Everyone has been discounting this kid because he played.
Who's everyone and what joke?
Your channel, 610.
Who has done this, and what was the joke? I'm being very serious.
It's a tone. It's an attitude that's being pervaded toward it. Now, just a moment ago, what was it when I said that there's a difference between playing at A&M and playing at...
Well, first of all, I'm a little offended by you saying that my son's Texas A&M water polo experience was club and not varsity. You do realize that club teams that don't have a varsity play against varsity water polos. If you knew water polo and watch water polo, you know that.
There's only one NCAA varsity program, and it happens to be at Austin College.
I can't believe we're talking about water polo, and I'm telling you, you know water polo, I can tell
exactly
you water.
That's exactly the attitude that I'm talking
hold
about.
Hold on.
That's
not an attitude.
You're not letting me finish here.
You're not letting me finish here. I said if you knew water polo, and it seems like you do, you would know that club teams beat varsity teams on a regular basis. So to cast aspersions.
Not the California varsity programs.
To cast aspersions on a club team in this state, I think you're being snide.
Yep. Nope. You're wrong on that one.
Not the California teams. Okay, well, sorry I wasn't more specific.
I've never seen in my life someone look more lost than Kahale Waring on a football field. No, I'm serious. I was actually surprised that he made it to the stretching line. Because you – no, I'm not
– I know you are.
I'm not trying to be trite. Like, if you watch that guy walk around, it's almost like – have you ever – you've been in a casino or, like, a movie theater or something like that?
Uh-huh.
And you they make casinos naturally dark. And
oh,
like,
yeah.
If you're in a sports book, like if I go to Vegas to the sports book for like 15 minutes and then I walk outside on the streets and it's 4 o'clock, like the sun just blinds you.
Yep.
That's what Kahale Waring looked like for all 3 hours of practice.
Like you go into the theater, dude, and you're like, oh, my gosh, I forgot it was a noon start.
What am I doing here? I've never seen someone look lost that lost in my life on a football field. Seriously.
How many teams has he been cut from in the last year?
Three or four.
This is going to be number four.
Three or four.
Yeah. Indianapolis. Arizona?
New England.
Good. New England.
New England, yeah.
The three, I think this is going to be number four.
Physical freak. I mean, he looks the part. But
he's a good water polo player.
That dude looked lost.
Good water polo player.
That dude looked lost, yeah.
Have you ever seen water polo?
I haven't.
Yeah, you're wrong on that one.
Never seen it. It's around the NFL here on In the Loop Sports Radio 60. Let's talk to John Harris. John Harris is here at the Bear Bryant luncheon presented by the American Heart Association. We're out here, and we were going to talk to the great John Harris about the Texans draft. What did he think about a couple of the selections that stick out to us? And are the Texans, because I've said this, are the Texans as thin at the running back position this year as they were heading into camp last year? John Harris joins the show next.
Now it's Texans All Access.
Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Live from the American Heart Association Paul Bear Bryant Awards Champions Luncheon. Here's In the Loop with John Lopez and Landry Locker.
All right, I need John Harris to talk me off the ledge. I'm worried about the running backs again. I'm concerned.
Wait, what Twitter video did you see that got you all worked up now?
I don't know. I look at the other running back rooms around the league. Maybe it's a little bit better. I'm just a little concerned about the backs. Talk me off the ledge.
Okay, first of all, last night we were talking on All Access. We were talking about things that I have felt very confident are different than last year. That one is one of them.
Really?
That one is one of them.
Okay.
This group will be better than last
Based
year.
On what? Because I'll just... I won't...
There's addition by subtraction. I'll leave it that way.
Okay. So no David Johnson. I said that, not
and
you.
More. And more.
And more.
Philip Lindsay.
I didn't say it.
But here's my point. If you just look at like how they started last year and how they start this year, last year looked better to me. Ingram.
Well, Ingram was never there during OTAs because...
Well, started the year.
At camp.
Yeah, started the year.
I mean, yeah, but for how long was that? How long were you going to get that out of Mark? I mean, when he got to the Saints, we really didn't see it either. I mean, I think We got a little bit. You know, we got like a couple innings of his, you know, 95 mile an hour fastball. But look, am I going to sit here and tell you Rex is going to the Pro Bowl? You know, Royce is going to the Pro Bowl? No, I'm not going to sit here and tell you that. But I think overall as a group, there's more juice. And a lot of that has to do with the fact that there's more juice because 31's coming down. And it's not David Johnson anymore. It's David Pierce.
Yeah.
Now, I'm not putting him in the Pro Bowl. I'm not saying he's rookie of the year. But you watch that Joker run, you're like, boy, he's got some movement skills. He can move. Dario Mbuale is not going to run for 500 yards this year. But you look at him and go, he's better than anything that they had last year running the rock. And he's 26.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I once had a coach tell me he was arguably the worst running back in the NFL. And somehow that guy stayed around 6 years.
Yeah.
So he's now at the Texans. He run for a ton of yards. No, I just think overall the group is better. In large part because it's younger.
Yeah.
It's younger than what's there. So from that standpoint, I think Pierce will make an impact. You have younger backs. I hope Rex can stay healthy, but, I mean, 17-game season.
Yeah, what are you going to do?
I mean, that's going to be tough. But if you have some younger legs, which they didn't have last year, by the time they were going to go to Scotty Phillips, Scotty plays a handful of plays against the Dolphins, and I look down from the perch and go, oh, crap, he's going to the locker room. And he's hurt for the rest of the year. Then he goes on IR. So those were your young legs, and we were all clamoring for it last year. All of us were. I mean, I've listened to you guys all the time. Like, why not Scotty Phillips? Why not Scotty Phillips?
What do you have to lose?
What do you have to lose? Absolutely. But I think with Dameon Pierce, you can look at it and see it and go, okay, not only did you draft him as opposed to a guy being an undrafted free agent, there's draft capital in a guy. You want to see what that guy's able to do. I love his running style. I think he's got some juice. Watching him yesterday move in between the tackles and look. I mean, it's, you know, it's basketball in shorts.
Sure.
But you can see the movement skills of the running backs. I think the movement skills of the running backs are much quicker, much more decisive. And I swear to God, if I watch Philip Lindsay run towards a hole and then cut it back just because that's what he does,
dude,
I'm going to lose my mind. I used to scream at Mark and Andre during a game because I would be at that point where I could see the hole. And
I can think of specific.
There was like a
plays.
Second. There was a game in which there was a power player to the right. And there was a formula, and that was if it's clogged up inside, it's a bounce. If it's not there outside, he's going to cut it all the way back. He was never going to follow the blocking. And I swear, Titus buried a dude as he was pulling around. He buried a guy, and then all of a sudden, cut it back right back into the trash for a zero for a no gain. And I literally like threw my like I just did it with a panel, like threw my mic in the air. And all of a sudden, Vandermeer hears this. You know, thud on the mic. He's like, gets to the break. Goes, what was that? And I was like, sorry, I was mad about the missed cut by our running back. So I think there are two things. Number one, I said this to these guys last year. With Rex, it wasn't always that Rex was going to create all these yards. But if the play was blocked properly,
he knew.
Rex was going to get you a decent amount of yards. So you could watch Rex and realize that play is blocked properly or that play is not blocked properly. You could see that with him. The other guys, you had no idea after the play was over. Like, who was this?
It's not necessarily. Like, I like Rex, and I'm proud of Rex for earning another deal. It's nothing against Rex or what he brings, and I think he would be a valuable piece on any football team. I mean, you listen to Bill Belichick talk about him. I mean, he marvels over him. But let's be honest.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is here to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify is got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Honest, John, he should never be the best running back on your team by far. Like, right?
You said it.
I mean, I think even like even Rex could have, even Rex I think could admit
he probably
that.
Was.
Like,
I've said this numerous times. Where we've been the last couple of years, and you look at players that have played well, and you think, wait, I want to re-sign that guy. I want to bring those guys back.
Yeah,
but it doesn't have to be that. Hey, I'm bringing this guy back, and I'm putting him in the exact same spot he was because that's what he did.
Yeah.
Just because he was doing that,
yeah,
I'm not going to automatically put him right back in that spot. If I have found better talent,
sure,
and there's a true competition, maybe it comes out he's the third best running back.
My thing is, I don't know that he's not best. I don't know that he's not still the best.
Right. Well, that's my point, though, is that if you bring him back and you find out that he's not.
That's a win.
Using
a
Rex W. as an example.
Yeah, that's a win.
Yeah, using Rex as an example. Okay, then Rex is what, your number two, your number three? Like, he's the guy that comp. I'm fine with that.
Yeah.
I'm fine with that. Overall, this team had to raise its elite talent level. Had to. I mean, it was obvious. We saw it. I mean, I'm not spitting news with that.
Yeah.
But I would have to caution people with, oh, yeah, we're bringing back this guy. We're bringing back this guy. Yeah, but that doesn't mean that he's going to come back in the exact same role.
He's not penciled in.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Or written in pen. You got to improve the talent level on this team. So if you bring that guy back, Terrell Adams is a great example of that. Terrell had, 100-something tackles in 2020? And everybody's like, you got to bring him back, got to bring him back. I'm like, are you watching the games? No. Mm-hmm. No. That doesn't make your linebacking position better by bringing Terrell Adams back and putting him right back as a starter. That doesn't make your defense any better. Now, if you want to bring him back and he's the third or fourth guy and he contributes on special teams, then okay. But then, so you can't just think, okay, well, Rex was our starter at the end. He's going to automatically be the starter now. No. I mean,
I agree.
That'd be the first thing that they tell you. Look, we're going to bring a guy back, but it doesn't mean that we're going to bring him back in that same exact form that he was the year before. The expectations and the talent level has risen, and everybody's, as Mark says a lot of times, boats rise with the tide, so hopefully the running back room will rise with him. I like the guy I want to see, just because watching him, first of all, his name is Jet, and I'm enamored by speed. I want to see what Darius Anderson can do in these preseason games.
Mm-hmm.
Jet from out George Ranch with TCU. I want to see what he's got, because he's got some serious smoke. I mean, mm-hmm. He can really, really run. Now, how do you fit that into this offense? How does he fit? Are the numbers going to work for him? He's an undrafted guy. You brought him in late last year. What are you going to do with it? So from that perspective, I'm curious to see what that group's able to do with three preseason games. I imagine you don't have to run Rex much.
No.
You got to give Damian some carries. You got to get Royce some carries, and you got to get Darius Anderson and Dari get all those guys some carries. Rex doesn't need carries. I mean, you know what Rex is at this particular point. You got to see if those other guys are ready to step up and take over at that particular position.
John Harris talking about the running back position here on In the Loop Sports Radio 610 live at the American Heart Association Paul Bear Bryant Awards Champions lunch. We had Luke Fickell on earlier today. Fire up the Odyssey app if you want to look into that. Let's talk to John, though, about something we talked to Luke Fickell about, the decision to go Stingley over Sauce, why it was a good thing, why it could be a bad thing, and the early thoughts on some of the rookies that are getting some work in right now. More with John Harris, plus we'll talk to Clint Sterner and Ron the Show Hughley as well next.
Live from the American Heart Association Paul Bear Bryant Awards Champions Luncheon. Here's In the Loop with John Lopez and Landry Locker.
All right, we got about 10 more minutes with John Harris, and we'll talk to Clint Sterner, Ron the Show Hughley. We're live at the American Heart Association Paul Bear Bryant Awards Champions Lunch. John, why Derek Stingley over Sauce Gardner? We talked to Sauce's coach, Luke Fickell, earlier today. If you missed it, fire up the Odyssey app. If you don't have the Odyssey app, what the hell are you doing with your life? Why Stingley over Sauce?
I was always a Stingley guy. A lot of it had to go back. A lot of it went back to 2019.
He was number one on the Harris 100 before last season. Despite being hurt, he never dipped below five.
Because when I look at that guy, I see exactly what I want to see in a corner. His feet are tremendous. He's got tremendous recovery speed. His ball skills are outstanding. The one thing I always worry about with Sauce, and from my position on the sidelines, I can see this a lot of times. The guys that struggle the most in the league at corner are the ones that think with their hands and their physicality first. If you're not thinking with your feet first, if your feet aren't the first thing that moves when a receiver's moving, you're in a lot of trouble in the NFL. And watching Sauce over the years, I saw it get better, but it really hit me when, I can't remember who they were playing, I saw him against. And the first thing he did, when the receiver tried to make a move and use the release on him was he grabbed him.
Yeah.
And I thought, he's not going to get away with that, and that's going to impact his game. And I really was not as big a Sauce fan. And the more I thought about it, I was like, you know what? I need to watch Sauce a little bit more. And so I pulled up the playoff game against Jameson.
Mm-hmm.
And it looked like a different guy. It really did. There still were moments of grabbing a little bit and clutching, but when he went up one-on-one against Jameson Williams, who went number 12 to Detroit, I thought, man, I like guys that are physical. I love guys from the D. I think they play with a chip on their shoulder. And in our discussion with the lunch and the Q&A with Luke Fickell, he mentioned chip on his shoulder a few times. Mm-hmm. He talked about himself. He talked about his program. I like guys that play with a chip on his shoulder, and I think that I always respected that with Sauce, but I just felt like, man, he is going to struggle with the way that NFL officials call the game in the back end. Whereas you watch Stingley and the first thing that moves are his feet.
Yeah.
And I'm going to trust a guy with those ball skills, with that speed and those feet, 10 times out of 10. Could be wrong. Sauce could end up being the right guy. Because the other side of this is, what's a guy's makeup? And talking to Coach a little bit about Sauce, he's like, there are three things for him. He'll play video games, he's going to go bowl, and he's going to go ball.
That's nothing it. But good stuff about
that's
him.
That's it.
Yeah.
He said, that's it. And, you know, those are the guys you want to have in your locker room. Like, okay, go play Call of Duty or whatever video game you're playing. It's time to go ball. He's going to go ball. And so I also thought, I talked to you guys during the break, I thought it was interesting too because I had said this before you guys mentioned it. He called him Ahmad. And I remember texting you guys.
Yeah.
You guys
yeah.
We got a conversation about that, a text thread about that, about Ahmad. He always called him Ahmad. And then he told you guys he didn't call him Sauce until after he was drafted.
But, yeah.
Brilliant marketing move. I mean, brilliant.
Oh, that's great.
He and Deion Sanders might go down as the two best marketing moves at that point. Deion named himself Primetime and is Norm Torrey back in 88. Point being there, I think they're both going to be really good players. Mm-hmm. I'm really excited to see Stingley. Just watching him move around and adapt to routes and drop off routes depending on the coverage and all that. I think they're both going to end up being really, really good players. I think both the Texans and Jets are going to be very, very happy with both the players that they ended up getting. I just felt like with Stingley, to me, the feet mattered more than anything. Of course, the first game, I'm sure within the first five plays,
Stingley, he's going to stumble.
Stingley will get a holding penalty or defensive pass interference. Everybody will be like, hey, John, you said feet beforehand.
But that well, happens to yeah, corners. Though.
He's still learning. He's still learning.
I know. I mean, it's going to happen. And I think, no, that's the thing. With Stingley, Sauce, adapting, I know it sounds odd. But adapting to the NFL game at what they do sounds easy.
Mm-hmm.
It's cat coverage. You go cover that cat, I cover that cat, I cover that cat. But, man, receivers you see,
yeah,
AAC receivers aren't quite like the ones he's going to see. So, from that perspective, you know, in the AFC East, you're going to put Sauce on Tyreek?
Yeah.
How are you going to do that? I mean, same for the Texans. Are they going to take Stingley? Are they going to match him on Michael Pittman? Are they going to match him on Tyreek when they play the Dolphins? Those are going to be interesting things to see how the defenses both are transformed or not with those two corners going to those two places.
Real quick, and I mentioned this to you off air, Christian Harris is very intriguing to me.
Yeah.
Just because I don't know what kind of coverage guy he is, but just his speed and the way he's built seems to be Tampa 2 written all over it.
I think with Harris, Tampa 2 has absolutely got to be in play. Dude moves. I mean, he's a former safety.
Yeah.
You know, he's a, he's an, I don't want to say undersized linebacker. You see him at OTAs, you know, like, he's not undersized.
But
he's
not the biggest.
No. However, of the linebackers that I watched going into this draft, and I mean, obviously watched them all, there wasn't a linebacker that thumped like that cat.
Yeah.
There's a play against Florida, ran a power play against Florida, and they're down inside the red zone, and it looks like the play is going. They ran a stunt, and the defensive end disappeared inside, and the tackle didn't get back out. So they got the edge. If that car gets around the edge, you're done. You're FUBAR. That's a touchdown.
Yeah.
Harris comes out of nowhere, and that guard's 335 pounds. I looked it up and just buried – like, hit him so hard he knocked him to his knees, and he was able to fall off and then make a tackle for no gain. I was like, that play should have gone for at least 15 yards.
Yeah.
But I saw him do that numerous times. And in the national championship game, I felt like with all the players on the field, all the players, and I'm not talking, you know, football players, I'm talking players on the field, he was in the top three. He was incredible that night.
A forced fumble, you thought it was going to change the game.
Yeah, absolutely. And so I think there's more. And I know you're not pigeonholing him. Oh, he's just a cover two guy.
No, I'm saying
I think he can
it
help.
Seems like fit is what I'm thinking of.
Absolutely.
Fit.
But here's the thing. And just thinking about not only Tampa 2, but, you know, one game that always stands out to me from a linebacker perspective and how you covered is the 2017 game of the Texans against the Seahawks. The Texans were killing the Seahawks, running a deep over route from the opposite side of the field, and their backside outside linebacker was basically being put kind of in a high-low situation, but he couldn't react to the high with that over route. And so Deshaun just kept bang, 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 just kept hitting that over route to Hop and then to Fuller. And the linebacker couldn't get back there. K.J. Wright just couldn't get back there. One, a cover three situation, Christian Harris might be that guy. Well, Christian Harris can. He's got that speed. He's got the understanding to get back there. He's asked to do it at Alabama a little bit. So I think it helps them in a lot of different coverages, the fact that he has – that type of speed to be able to play underneath that deep over route, to be able to blitz off the edge they need to blitz. But you play linebacker, you better have some stroke. And I think he's got that. And I don't think people really truly understand how much juice he's got when he takes on blocks. He was as good taking on blocks as any linebacker I've studied the last 2-3 years. And he's probably 15, 20 pounds less than those guys.
Yeah.
He takes on dudes with some violence.
Mm-hmm.
And on the field violence, cool with. Off the field, not so much.
He's been playing linebacker for 3 years now.
That's crazy.
Okay.
That's crazy.
No, I'm saying that's crazy. Like, I, you know, we talk about, like, paths and stuff like that.
Yeah.
Like, I think he has the most fascinating path to me. I mean, you play corner, H-back, whatever. You go to high school on LSU campus. You get recruited as an H-back at LSU. And then you go to Alabama. You switch positions.
Yeah.
And you're a day one starter at linebacker for Nick Saban. That's awesome that Derek Stingley did what he did, but that's the most fascinating path to me, the Christian Harris thing. I'm fascinated by the guy.
I don't disagree with you. I was a little disappointed to see guys like Chad Muma and Troy Anderson, I mean, just uber athletes, were drafted ahead of Harris. But when they drafted Christian Harris, it's one of those things where I'm kind of looking at a million things. We're talking about radio.
Yeah.
Milner's over here, and he's like, hey, Christian Harris, they're going to take – oh, damn, he's still on the board? Oh, I like this. This is good. And I think then I start thinking about fit.
Yeah.
He fits in a lot of different in a lot of different realms. And it goes back to our thought about, you know, bringing guys back from last year. You needed to bring back Kirksey. You needed to bring back Kamu. Because if nothing else, you know you're going to have to get younger at that position.
Mm-hmm.
And those two guys, like Rex, are guys that are going to take these dudes under their wing and show them, hey, this is how it needs to be done. Hey, well, you dropped on this.
Yeah.
But, hey, you should have been reading this key over here. And if you were, you would have gotten all that kind of stuff. And, look, Christian Harris has been through the Alabama defense. I mean, he's seen pretty much everything. But you have those vets there to be able to move him along and get him to a point where he can be a part of this defense.
Mm-hmm.
And I think Garrett Wall is going to be a part of this defense. So, and why? Because they can run.
Yeah.
You better be able to run before you can do anything else. But the fact that both of them love contact and violence as much as they do, I'll take it.
Why do people hate the Waves so much, John?
It's just, it's bothersome.
Why does the – of all the things we hate on, why do people hate the Wave so much?
You're sitting at a game. You're sitting in your seat, and I don't know, JV's on the mound, right?
Mm-hmm.
And all of a sudden, JV's about to deliver 95 miles an hour on the black, painting black, and you want to see it, and some jackass goes, yeah, and you don't see it.
Well, you got to stand up, too.
No.
It's like if they're standing up with two strikes, you got to stand up too. Make some noise.
My thing on it, John.
There are a lot of things that I love you for. There are a lot of things when you were going to bat for Stingley, I'm like, you and I are on the same page. We're good. All that. I love you for a lot of things. This one, I will not jump on Landry Hill for this one.
I think the thing about the Wave is people are half-assing it now. You play the game at 100%.
Yeah.
You fan the game at 100%.
Mm-hmm. Good point.
And they're half-assing it. So I think that's why. People can read through it.
If you had the whole stadium doing it 100%.
Soccer.
Yeah, well, soccer.
Yeah. Oh,
man. By the way, did y'all see Man City's comeback the other day?
Dude, don't start with me. God almighty.
Okay, good to one. Two that goals was, in 5 minutes.
You know I like Liverpool.
You're a fake soccer fan too?
Listen,
I didn't know this.
Don't start with me on that. So here's the deal. For those who don't know, real quick, John. Liverpool needed to win. Man City needed to tie. Liverpool wins the Premier League. All right?
Right.
And they had a chance to win the quad, which is the Champions League title, right. Premier right. League title. The
quadruple.
The quadruple. So Man City was losing 2-0 with like five minutes left.
What are we doing right now?
Yeah.
Well, he just asked me.
What are we doing?
Awesome. And Liverpool ended up scoring the go-ahead goal.
Yep.
Boom. We're good to go.
Yeah, you're down 2-0. Within 6 minutes, Man City scores 3 times. The reason why I love Man City, there's a documentary, the All or Nothing show that was on Amazon for NFL?
Yeah.
Well, they did one on Man City. And so I'd heard a lot about the Premier League, so I'm like, I'm going to check this out. And so I started watching it. I fell in love with Pep. I love him as a manager. The guys, Kevin De Bruyne he's the maestro in the middle. I mean,
you're cheering for the Yankees and the Cowboys.
No.
You're cheering for the Yankees and the Cowboys. Okay. The best team
money
can buy.
My Yankees and my Cowboys won the Premier League championship twice in a row and 4 times in the last 5 years.
Liverpool
is
the –
You can walk alone, John.
You never walk alone. Liverpool is the people's champ. It's the Houston of England. It's a port city. It's sleeves rolled up. It's real people.
Oh, my God.
Really? I can't.
Liverpool.
No.
This
Man City.
And
Man
we
City.
Just did that, by the way, on the air.
Yeah, it's okay. It's all right.
Yeah. Hey.
It's all right.
Hey,
do you watch F1 too?
No, I'm a NASCAR.
Have you,
got,
have you got into the Netflix
NASCAR.
Series? I've been trying to get Vandermeer into the
NASCAR a little bit.
Have you watched the Netflix F1 series?
I have not.
Dude.
No, it's good.
You've seen it?
Yeah.
It's
but,
awesome.
But I haven't gotten into it too much.
I watched F1 race the other day, which is weird. I love the fact this is killing
he hates
me.
This.
I love
he
this.
Hates this.
I love
I hate
this.
Both of y'all right now.
But he's like you're just a fake liver soccer fan. And we just had like an intelligent conversation about that game that could be played in Liverpool.
Yes. Our hostess up here, I was walking out. I walked in here earlier, said hi to you guys. I walked out and our hostess at the front, I could tell she's got an English accent, and she says, "Are you Mr. Harris?" And I said, "Yes." And she goes, "I'm so happy for you." And I was like, "Oh, okay." And she was like, "Your team, Man City, won the Premier League." And I said, "Yeah." She goes, "I'm a Leeds fan." And we had like a 20-minute talk about Premier League soccer.
Oh,
I know everybody out there is like, what the
killing
hell?
Me.
That's all right.
Hey, JJ's a Chelsea fan, right?
Yeah, he can be a Chelsea fan.
I hate Chelsea.
I think the best thing ever is watching a match with relegation on the line.
We should have it here in every sport.
If we had regular – oh, good Lord.
Especially baseball.
The pressure already?
Baseball.
The pressure already?
You think
on
the
Reds
would be the Reds if there was relegation? Come on. See, Reds, now we're bringing Reds, it home.
What is relegation?
Where there's only a certain number of teams in the actual Premier League.
And you have to leave.
And the bottom three?
Yeah. Bottom three.
Yeah.
You have to leave?
You go to the second division.
And then how do you get back in?
By winning.
You got to win like Fulham did. Fulham went from Premier League back to championship, then won a championship and went back.
I think we just stumbled upon a podcast.
I've never heard him speechless.
I think you and I just stumbled upon a
never
podcast.
Never heard him speechless.
Clint Sterner and Ron.
I'm gonna call it. I'm gonna call it. Kick me. I'm gonna call it.
What the hell is going on right now? John Harris.
Hey, oh, hold on.
They're like shaking hands with each other and stuff like this.
Here,
I don't know. What
I got an idea
happened.
For a brand new podcast. Not bite me. Kick me.
Goodness.
With
gracious.
John Harris.
Yes.
Show. Save me, please. Say. Just say anything.
Man, I didn't know John Harris was riding hard like that.
Yes.
Come on, everything, show. Man.
We just learned.
No, I can't go with you on
is.
That, John, but I'll let you. But you go ahead and do it. I mean, the anger in his heart when he said, "Oh, I hate Chelsea."
He's cheering for the Yankees.
No,
you might as well be, you know, like a UT fan.
I don't know how many championships they're winning.
That hurts.
God.
That hurts.
I don't even know how many championships.
Well, they're
Texas
still trying. They
winning.
Got a lot of money.
I was about to say I was going to be an A&M fan, but now I need an NIL.
Hey, you
all
are.
Right, love you,
are
you guys. I'm going to go listen to all of you.
We love you,
y'all,
Bob.
Y'all have a good day. Thank y'all.
John Harris. There you go. Who knew? Soccer.
After the end of a good fight, you deserve an ice cold reward. Medela, the mark of a fighter. You've earned this rich golden lager with a crisp, refreshing taste. Because you know, the bigger the fight, the better the reward. You put in the hours, the energy, the tough labor. You are a fighter, and Medela is your reward. Medela, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
Baseball is back, basketball is heating up, and the NFL draft is right around the corner. Listen to the latest on the teams you love here on the Odyssey app. The biggest sports radio stations in the country, providing unrivaled local coverage of their teams, all in one place. Exclusive interviews with players, coaches, and team executives, streaming live and always available on demand. Stay in the know with your favorite teams right here on the Odyssey app.
Clint and Ron back at the studio. How you guys living?
Not bad, man. You know, we're enjoying ourselves. It's weird. Generally, it is the other way around that you all are in studio and that we're out and about. But it looks like you all, how are y'all doing is what we should be wondering. How is the event up there?
Living good, man. About to get to grub. Got to talk there to Coach Fickell a little bit. Sitting back, a little bit snug, and really, really can't complain.
Can't complain at all.
Did
Luke? I missed something. Did Luke say that the Texans were stupid for not drafting Sauce Gardner?
I would highly recommend you listen and maybe even play a little bit of Luke Fickell. He was unbelievable. He talked about Sauce versus Derek Stingley. He also told a great story about how he never called him Sauce until he got drafted, and it was an ongoing joke. It was really funny.
So he was just a mod.
Talked about Desmond Ridder, too. He was confused about why, there's this perception that these quarterbacks were not good.
Yeah, Clint, you liked Desmond Ridder, too, did you, Clint? You were higher on Desmond Ridder than most folks.
Yeah, I like Desmond Ridder. I think I like him right where he was drafted.
There was actually more to it than that. His best friend Mike Vrabel is the one who drafted Malik Willis instead of Ridder. So he was talking about just how quarterbacks are rated and stuff like that. So it was actually interesting because he knows Tennessee's looking for a quarterback, and then Vrabel. And the Titans, they pick a quarterback, and it ends up not being his guy. So that was kind of the dynamic. Fire up the Odyssey app, check that out.
No question. I like Desmond Ridder, though. They did a good job. You're talking about being pro-ready. I think, when you talk about being able to make all the different throws on time, on platform, off platform, all the different things. I like Desmond Ridder. I like him in Atlanta. And, hell, look, behind Marcus Mariota, I think he'll get his opportunity sooner rather than later. So he did a good job developing and grooming a young man. That's for damn sure.
What do you guys got coming up on the show?
Oh, of course, we'll get into what we heard late last night with the Deshaun Watson accusers. And one of us believes it was the right move for Deshaun's camp at the 11th hour to step in and issue there. Yeah. I know you guys go the other way, but one of us believes that was a good move. And Clint's going to have to address, boy, the truthers came after him late yesterday.
Oh my God! I couldn't believe that. Oh my God. The Davis Mills
truthers came out.
What happened? Well, you didn't see it?
No, I wasn't online.
I just sat back and ate my popcorn and just listened.
Clint, you can tell the story, Clint. But you posted a pretty cool video, and then what happened?
Well, no, I think the deal with Davis Mills is just his inability. It's either an inability or he just for one reason or another hasn't developed to that level. But his inability to drive the football, particularly the second level of field right now, is concerning. I think especially being a pocket passer, You know, I think he floats the ball too much. The ball hangs in the air. He underthrows. He feathers the ball too often. And I would like to see him start to drive the football more confidently down the field with authority. And next thing you know, man.
You're not the only guy who said that. Yeah, I've heard four different guys say that in the last week as the evaluation kicks up. So it's not like you said anything that hadn't been said before, you know?
Well, then they came coming after his knees.
Oh, my. What'd they say?
Davis Mills is far better than Clint Sterner ever was. He doesn't know what the hell he's talking about.
And Clint posted a video of just doing some drills, and people are like,
Clint did that video. No, somebody else posted it. I just retweeted that.
There was a video posted of you.
Oh, yeah.
And people are like, you're talking about Davis Mills?
I got people talking about fumbling in 98, Davis Mills is better.
Landry, you know I'm going to gas the hell out of this.
I can see Show smiling from here.
I can't wait to 235.
Listen to that. Clint Sterner, Ron the Show, Hughley holding it down. Fellas, look forward to it. We will see you tomorrow. We'll be back in studio tomorrow. Thanks to Luke Fickell for hopping on at the American Heart Association Paul Bear Bryant Awards Champions Lunch. Thanks to Stanford Route and Adam Spillane for hopping on the Flying Fish Restaurant Hotline during their weekly visits. Most importantly, thank you to you. The Loophole. Shout out to the Loopholes. If you listen, you are one. For Matthew Irving, doing his thing, holding it down, doing what he does, reading 50-cent books and drinking, I would say,
chocolate
about
milkshakes,
3,000 calories worth of coffee this morning. For the OG John Lopez and for Biggie Fig being the best in the world at what he do, I'm Landry Locker. This has been another edition of In the Loop. Manana, 10 a.m., but in the meantime, Clint Sterner and Ron the Show Hughley are next.
Thank you, Peggy.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance, too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.